as pressure mounts on the White House to decide its position on stem cell research. President Bush is meeting with all manner of experts. In recent weeks, members of the scientific community, religious leaders, patient advocacy groups, and powerful political interests have offered their advice. The administration set an early July deadline to make a decision, but it's unclear whether Mr. Bush will keep his campaign promise to cut federal funding of the research or support some or all forms of stem cell use in the interest of medical science. This week, the president turned to bioethicists to help frame his thinking on this subject. Bioethics is a relatively recent field of study that reflects on the moral dilemmas posed by advancements in technology. We have two experts with us. Gilbert Mailander is a professor of ethics and a bioethicist at Valparaiso University in Indiana. He joins us from his office there. Welcome to you, Professor.
Thank you.
And Alta Shero teaches law and bioethics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She joins us from member station WHA in Madison. Hello, Professor.
Hello.
Let's begin with you, Mr. Mailander. Where do you start to think about a question like this? Just share your own approach with us. The appropriateness of stem cell research. What methodology do you use to think about it?
Well, I don't know if I'd dignify it with anything quite so big as the word methodology. But, I mean, there are always three aspects, as far as I'm concerned, to moral reflection. You have to try to learn as much as you can about whatever the issue is, the facts of it, within the limits of your competence. You have to have some kind of theoretical approach to moral reasoning. What I usually say is that in moral reasoning, we think about what we do, what we accomplish through our doing, and what sort of people we want to be. And you have to think about how those relate to each other and whether you're willing to do anything in order to accomplish certain things and so forth. And then we carry along with us what I call background beliefs, which are bound to be religious or quasi-religious in character, their beliefs about the sort of creatures human beings are, their place in the universe, the meaning of suffering, the importance of the bond between the generations, all sorts of questions like that. And we have beliefs about those, not always articulated, but they make a big difference in what we do with our theories and how we think about the facts.
And how do you tackle this question, Professor Shero?
Well, I certainly couldn't differ with the list that Professor Mailander has offered up. I think there's enormous variation, however, on how people would fill in the details of that list, and I'm sure he would probably agree with that. Myself, I tend to focus on questions of justice, whereas some people who call themselves ethicists tend to focus on a series of absolute rules about the way people should treat one another and are concerned that the rules be followed regardless of the specific consequences. I and others like me tend to be more interested in a very contextualized analysis of looking at how particular actions affect people and what will increase the overall happiness and value of life for the most people, as well as how to ensure that the distribution of burdens is equitable in society.
But so it's means and ends. What's the matter, though?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's not exactly that. It's about what we accomplish and how we distribute the value of those accomplishments, and how we distribute the burdens of reaching those accomplishments, which is exactly why there really is an element of civic fairness and civic justice underlies this.
Of course, there's an element.
Excuse me. Can I ask you both now to look, apply the things you're saying to thinking about embryos and the stem cells?
I don't think anyone really has much problem with research on adult stem cells. But embryonic stem cell research, which derives stem cells via the destruction of the embryo, there one is doing an evil that one ought not do simply in order to achieve those good results.
You mean creating an evil, committing an evil act? I don't understand.
Well, if you destroy the embryo, you're doing an evil deed.
This, of course, is at the base of all these debates.
Absolutely.
Because there is not any agreement yet in the United States or even globally about what constitutes an evil. There are people who view it as being insignificant as an act, others who view it as being equivalent to killing a baby, and many others who view it as something in between, but they can't articulate exactly what.
Well, the issue
is
really,
because they can't identify whether it's evil, right?
Yeah.
The question becomes, how do you determine what's evil? And we'll never agree on that here. We would be better off taking a look at the effects of these actions and at least paying some attention to the effects on the people whose moral status is not in doubt,
whose needs
are already demonstrated.
Excuse me, but at the heart of it is that old notion, that old argument. When does human life begin?
It's true that it does, in some sense, simply drive us back to the question of when an individual human life begins, but it raises larger questions. I mean, it raises political questions. Whose good counts in the common good? How inclusive or how narrowly exclusive do we want the bounds of our community to be? Are we willing simply to use the earliest forms of human life for our own purposes? I mean, there are all sorts of questions like that that are implicated as well.
And also at the end of that row of questions, though, are all those diseases that make our lives so difficult and shorten them in so many ways. Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, I mean, the list is much longer than that. And when people learn that there is the possibility really to put an end to that, to make it better, how do you say no?
Obviously, insofar as stem cell research promises some great goods, possible relief of suffering, it simply reverses the normal ethics for treating dying patients for whom all care is futile. We don't think that we can impose on any patient without consent research that might not help that patient himself or herself. Here we exactly reverse that. We say they're dying, they're going to be discarded anyway, why not get some good from it? I mean, surely there might be things you wouldn't do simply in order to relieve suffering your own or someone else's.
It is inappropriate, I think, to use the analogy to dying patients so completely, because dying patients are usually sentient. They're self-aware. They have preferences. They have feelings. Embryos have none of these things. Like the dying patient, the doomed embryos may have no future, but unlike the dying patient, they have no sense of self. The nature of an injury that can be done to an embryo, if one can be done at all, is necessarily different than the injury that can be done to an entity that is aware of itself.
Different, yes, but the notion that we cannot wrong without harming, see, you're reducing everything to issues of harm or injury. It's possible to wrong a subject without harming that subject.
Again, with the presupposition that the embryo is a subject, which circles us endlessly back, of course, over and over to the initial discussion about the status of the embryo.
That's right, but if you really want to deny that the embryo is a human subject of any sort, you, I think, are moving pretty far away from what consensus there does exist.
Do you accept that, Professor Sherrow?
No, I don't, because indeed, if you even just look at the federal regulations that govern human subjects research, they have never clearly considered embryos to be human subjects like other human subjects. There are special rules governing research with human embryos, but not because they're viewed as human subjects. And I'd hardly call the Federal Register and the regulations and the Code of Federal Regulations an example of extremist thinking.
We must wrap this up now, but it's clear to me that if this debate were being held in front of the president, he is left with absolutely a judgment of Solomon, isn't he?
Well, let's just suppose for a moment that we grant that there is no consensus and that the status of these embryos is genuinely uncertain. What he's left with is a decision whether to risk doing something that might be very wrong or proceeding with it.
I would advise the president to be conservative. Now, some people would think being conservative means to protect the embryo because you're not really sure of its moral status. I would say that being conservative is to protect the people whose moral status is not in dispute, and that is to protect the people who are sick today.
Alta Sherrow teaches law and bioethics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Gilbert Mailander teaches ethics at Valparaiso University in Indiana.